When I was young, when things would get stuck in the mud, I was the one that had to go to the back and help push it out of the mud. Being the last of eight children, kind of like Joseph, when you're down toward the end of the line, you get the bad end of the deal. So the lawnmower would get stuck in the mud. Chris, I need you to go back there and push it while I'm trying to get this out of the mud. Of course, you know what happens. The mud starts slinging all over you. We had small motorcycles, mini bikes, scooters. When they would get stuck in the mud, Chris, go back there and push. Help me get out of the mud. You ever gotten stuck in a rut? We're going to talk about that this morning. A rut is a low place in the mud, and your wheel gets down in there, you just get stuck in a rut. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. I want to help us to get out of the rut this morning. Daniel talked about in his prayer any changes that we might need to make in our life. Not just becoming a Christian, but as a Christian, we might need to grow and mature and do better. As a local church, we might need to improve. How do we get out of a rut? How do we get out of that routine that we've settled in? Every church service is the same. Every Wednesday night service is the same. Every daily activity that we go through is the same. And some of that sameness may be good. It may be good habits. And we've had lessons before about good habits that we have. But I'm talking about when there's something that needs to change. I need to step forward and be baptized into Christ this morning. Today is not going to be just like last Sunday and the Sunday before and the Sunday before where I just don't do it. I'm going to get out of that rut. Or when I leave the service, I'm going to change in some way. I'm going to improve in some way. It's not going to be like last week where it was the same as the week before and the same as the week before. Sometimes we get stuck in a rut. And there may be daily ruts that we get stuck in. Sometimes when couples end up in a divorce and they're discussing why they ended up in a divorce, they'll say, well, we were just stuck in a rut. And the way we were treating each other was the same day in and day out. And I finally just had enough of that. And so I want a divorce. You'll hear that phrase, stuck in a rut. Or people will quit the church. They won't attend. And you talk with them, well, I'm just stuck in a rut. Or whatever the situation might be. Is it possible to get in a spiritual rut? Where spiritually with our relationship with Christ and other Christians is just the same as it always is. There's no change. There's no improvement. We're going to learn this morning from blind Bartimaeus how to get out of that. How to improve and grow and be better in our service to Christ. Is it possible that we can get stuck in a spiritual rut? We're going to look at a man this morning, like some other individuals in the Gospels, who was stuck in a rut physically. These are people who we use a phrase today, marginalized. These would be people who are marginalized. The widow, the poor, the leper, the blind, the lame. In the first century, they were marginalized. They were shoved off to the side, and people would walk around them. And you stop and think about their life every day. It's the same old thing. They don't get to get up and go to work like you do. They don't get to get up and go to school like you do. Because you're blind and because you're a leper and because you're a widow and these other things, you don't get to have a job like everybody else. You don't get the exciting things throughout the day like everybody else. You get up, you drag yourself out of bed, and then you go somewhere and beg all day long. Then you go home and you go to sleep, and then you get up and you do it again the next day. And you do it again the next day, and you do it again the next day. We don't even relate to that. But that's what these people did. And it's just the same old discouraging, demeaning, depressing life. And then all of a sudden, Jesus of Nazareth walks along and you get a chance to get out of that. This man takes it. And so this morning, I want us to think about how that, hopefully each time we come here and we're introduced to Jesus of Nazareth, or in our personal Bible reading at home, that we would take that as an opportunity to get out of that same old that we're in. Who gets stuck in a rut? Well, this is not an exhaustive list, but some things that come to my mind. A sinner who needs to step forward and be baptized into Christ. You need to be converted. You need to change. Paul and others declared the conversion of the Gentiles, Acts 15 and verse 3. That's a change. That's a turning. It's a doing something different than just, I'm going to live my sinful life today. I'm going to get up and be baptized into Christ. That's someone who is stuck in a rut. And I want to encourage you this morning to get up and get out of that. Don't treat today just like last Sunday and the Sunday before and the Sunday before. It could be a Christian like Paul who said that I press on toward the goal. He said, I have not already become complete or mature. I want to press on. And here's the Apostle Paul, who is writing this book of Philippians at the time that he wrote another book where he describes himself as the aged. And he's still acting like, I need to do better. He was never satisfied, stuck in a rut. He wanted to do better. Maybe as a Christian, there's some attitude or disposition or activity that we need to improve upon. It could be a local church. It could be a church as a whole. You look at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. They had gotten to a point where they were fellowshipping and accepting the fornicating brother, and they were good with that. And Paul had to remind them, you need to stop that. And the majority of the seven churches of Asia are told to repent. In their mind, they were fine. And we think about Laodicea. They'd become lukewarm. They had become fine with their situation. In fact, they use an expression that sometimes we'll hear something similar today. In Revelation chapter 3 in verse 17, because you say, I am rich and have gotten riches and have need of nothing, and knowest thou that thou art wretched one and miserable and poor and blind? I'm in need of nothing. I'm good. I'm okay. This is a whole church. It could be a church. It could be us, where as a congregation we could improve in some way. I want to turn to Bartimaeus this morning. And for those this morning who want to change, this lesson is for you and for me. And he's going to show us how in 8 important steps. Where we're not satisfied to be a non-Christian. We're not satisfied to be a lukewarm Christian. We could improve in our attendance. We could improve in our service to God in some way. We could be more active. We could be more spiritually minded. We can be that one who raises our hand every week. I've read my Bible every day. Maybe that's the rut that I need to get out of. Whatever the case might be. Let's not be satisfied to stay today the same as we were last Sunday. But let's get out of that. Let's make that change. The devil wants us to stay there. He would be fine with us just to be stuck in the spiritual mud of life. He'd be fine with that. And he's hoping that those marriages will be stuck in a rut and end in a divorce. He's hoping that churches will be stuck in a rut and end up lukewarm. That's what he's wanting. But we get a chance this morning to learn how to break out of that. To change that. And we're going to look at 8 important steps and how that is done. When you look at the account of blind Bartimaeus, turn with me to Luke chapter 18. We're going to look at Luke's account. Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43. Mark records this in Mark chapter 10, and Matthew records it in Matthew chapter 20. I believe this story is the fulfillment of some of the passages in the Old Testament that talk about how that Jesus would come and He would heal the blind, Isaiah 35 and verse 5 and other passages. And what we're going to find here is that Jesus gave this man the gift of sight. But what this man gives the world is the gift of faith. He shows us how to make the change and get out of a rut. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 35, it came to pass as he drew nigh into Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. That's the rut. You're blind. You don't have a job. You crawl out of bed. If you have something to eat, you eat it, and you go out somewhere and you start begging all day. That's what you do in Jericho. And then you do it the next day if you want something to eat. What's he begging for? Some food, some money, something. He's in need. And if you want it the next day, you got to go beg for it. And the next day, you got to go beg for it. And he gets up this day, and he's thinking it's just like any other day. I'm one of those marginalized persons that have been shoved off to the side that the priest and the Levite walk by, and people like that, they don't care about us. And we just go through the same old thing every day. So here's the rut. But what do we find? Verse 36. And hearing a multitude going by, he inquired what this meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The first step that we need to take in getting out of a rut, if we want to change this morning, if we want to do better, if we want to improve, if we want to be more active in the church, is we need to stop putting off until later what we need to do now. I believe all of us would agree that there are changes that we need to make in our life. But typically what we do is we say, well, I'll do that next Sunday. I'll do that next week. I've got a plan where when I get this worked out in my life and when I get that worked out, then I'll start improving in this area or that area. We need to do it now. Notice in the text that when Jesus was walking by, he immediately cries out to Jesus. He didn't wait for some later ideal circumstance. I'll wait until things get better. This is the best you're going to get. Jesus is walking by. There is no better circumstance. Well, I'll work on this and I'll work on that, but I'll do that next week or later in the summer or when school starts up again or this or that. He didn't wait until some ideal circumstance that was going to come up later. He acted upon it now. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. Today is the day of salvation. God is wanting to give you His grace and act upon it today. That was our scripture reading. He took advantage of His one opportunity. He didn't procrastinate. And notice in the text, and this is what is brought out in Luke's text that is not in the others, that the text says that he inquired. Underscore that in your Bible, verse 36. We've got to start asking the questions about how to change now. He didn't say, well, I don't care who that is. There's a ruckus. There's some people talking. I hear a multitude. He's blind. And I hear some people going about it. I don't want to ask about that. You've got to inquire. You've got to ask. You've got to be inquisitive. You've got to be aroused with interest to get out of that rut. But don't put off until later what we can do now. The changes that we know that we can make now that are within our power and ability to do now. Don't be like Felix, who, when he was given the opportunity to become a Christian, he said, go thy way, when I have a convenient season, I'll call thee. Just put it off. Today is the day to make that change. But keep reading in the text of Luke chapter 18 and verse 37. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David. We need to assume responsibility for our own life. This man didn't say, well, I need somebody else to help me. And this, now I'm going to get up and I'm going to cry out and I'm going to come to Jesus. We've got to assume responsibility for the changes that we need to make. Our parents can't do it for us. The people sitting beside us or in front of us or behind us this morning, they can't do that for us. We have to do that. He didn't make excuses. He didn't make blame. He didn't say, well, I've always been a blind beggar. I'm going to keep being a blind beggar. He got up and did something about that. I think sometimes when we get in that spiritual rut, we assume that that's where we're always going to be. And I'm good with that. He wasn't good with that. When he heard, he began to cry out. He wanted to change so badly that he took responsibility. No excuse making, no just simply talking about it, but never doing anything about it. He actually got up. And what's interesting is, the text says, because he inquired what this meant. When we ask the right questions, and when we're intimately interested in changing, then we're going to get the right answers, and we're going to be moved to make the change. And every time we open up our Bible, we're getting the right answers to the changes that we need to make in our life. Paul and others talk about how that in the judgment day, we're going to have to give an account of the deeds done in our own body. We're going to have to take responsibility for our own actions. One of the greatest lessons that we can teach our children and practice ourselves as parents is assuming responsibility for our actions. That's not being taught today. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, and Romans 14, and at the end of the scripture in Revelation 20, toward the end there of the judgment, we're going to have to stand and give an account of the deeds done in the body. If we're going to do that in the judgment day, we would do well to do that right now and take responsibility for our actions. And that's how he got out of a rut. It wasn't just all talk and no action. It wasn't simply mentioning some plans about what he might do the next time Jesus passes by. He just got up and did it. Let's assume responsibility for our own life this morning and make those necessary changes. And then, look at verse 38. He cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. The third important step that he took was that he admitted that he needed to change. I need some mercy. I'm a blind beggar. Please have mercy on me, Jesus. He admitted it. He admitted that he needed Jesus' help. And that's an important step. If we don't admit that we're in a rut, we'll never get out of it. If we don't admit that we need to change, we'll never change. As I mentioned earlier, if Paul can say, I need to grow, I think we can all say that this morning as well. He was humble and admitted that he was blind and in need of mercy. Will we admit that we need to change? If so, we're on the road to getting out of that rut. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. We would not be who we are today without the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ and God the Father. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love toward man appeared, not by works done in righteousness which we did ourselves, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration, baptism, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's the only way we're going to get where we need to be, through the love and grace and mercy of God in Jesus Christ. But we have to get up and we have to admit that we need to make some changes, some improvements, some growth. Otherwise, next week, we're exactly the same place as we are this week. And then look at Luke chapter 18 up to this point. Bartimaeus is doing quite well. He's not going to procrastinate. He's going to assume responsibility for his own life. He's willing even to admit that he needs to make a change. But then here comes the hurdle. There's always the hurdle. There's always the obstacle. And that's what the devil wants. The devil doesn't want us to get out of a rut. So he's going to throw up that hurdle and that obstacle and that thing that is going to deter us and detract us and discourage us. So we find then some people, verse 39. And they that went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. Be quiet, you blind beggar. Get over there in the margin where we've shoved you and be quiet. And don't get to Jesus. Did he allow that to? Okay, I'll be quiet. No, he cried out the more. Don't let anyone, including ourselves, deter us. And we might be our own worst deterrent. We might be the one saying, don't do this, don't do that, don't make the change, don't come forward during the invitation song. No, you don't have to do that. We might be our own worst deterrent. But don't let anyone, including ourselves, stand in the way. He would not be silenced by the rebuke of the crowd. The world says, don't make any changes. Your friends might say, don't make any changes. Other brethren might say, don't make any changes. You never know where the hurdle will come from. But stop worrying about what others will say. Stop worrying about what other people think and what the world says. But make that change. We have to strive to enter in. Luke 13, verse 24. Strive to enter in by the narrow door. I want to do a lesson sometime. I've been trying to work on it. I want to get it done. About there is some Christianity involves some work. It's not just easily done like so much today is done on our phone where we just swipe something or just slide your thumb over and something happens. Christianity is not like that. And this is one passage that comes to my mind. There's got to be some striving. And when you strive to change mentally and bodily, it'll happen. But if we just let somebody throw the roadblocks in the way and the hurdles, then we'll never change. We'll never get out of that rut. Don't let anyone deter you. Come down with me to verse 40 of our text. It says that he cried out the more a great deal. Verse 39, I'm not going to let anyone stop me today, including the voice in my head. Nothing is going to stop me. In fact, I'm going to cry out the more I want to get what I want to get. And there are times when we need that with regard to our relationship with Christ. We need a tenacity and a dogged determination to get what we need to get and make that change. And then the next step he took, we find in verse 40, that he made that change immediately when he could. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him, and when he was come near, he asked him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" When Jesus called, when Jesus commanded, he came. He came when he was summoned. He came when he was commanded. He did something. He did it now. He wasn't thinking ahead of, well, how can I already get out of this situation? Why does this situation not apply to me? We're thinking ahead. We're already thinking. He just simply acted upon the moment. And he acted immediately. That's why in the book of Acts, there are some cases of conversion that talk about people immediately responding to the gospel. Acts 16:33, in the same hour of the night, the jailer was baptized. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch, well, here is water. What does hinder me just right now? Acts 22:16, arise. Why tarriest thou? Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Right now, you've got to act now. We have this expression, strike while the iron is hot. The blacksmith expression, where he heats up the iron and it's soft. And when you strike when the iron is hot, you can mold, you can change some things. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to strike while the iron is hot, while the word is actually affecting us, while the scripture is working on us. We have to act. You know, if you've gone to those blacksmith shops, it doesn't take long for that iron to cool off. And the cooling off could happen before we even get out of the building. And then we can't bend or mold that anymore. We have to strike now while the iron is hot and make that change immediately when we can. It's interesting, if you turn over to Mark chapter 10 and verse 50, that Mark adds something to the account that is not found in the other accounts. It said that he cast off his garment and he came to Jesus. What does that show you about this man? Here's a blind man. He's not healed yet. He's still blind. Here's a blind man. Jesus is going by. He wants to inquire. He's not going to let his friends stand in the way. And he wants to go to Jesus. And when they say to him, "Jesus calls you," he throws off his garment and goes toward Jesus. That's bold. I want to encourage you this morning to do something bold. I need to do something bold. Something that is completely different from last week and the week before. That's the whole point. When we do something bold, we get out of that rut. When we don't do anything, we just stay in that. I believe. Somebody would say, "Well, that was foolish of him to do that." I don't believe it's a sign of foolishness. I believe it's a sign of great faith. That he knows that he can come to Jesus and get some help. Somebody say, "Well, that was foolish for a blind man to throw his garment off. He may not get that. Somebody could walk along and take it." No, I believe it's a sign of great faith. And it's an act of boldness. And he did it now. Can we do the same? The whole point about getting out of a rut is to do something radically different. To improve our relationship with Christ. And this is a bold move on his part. And we know how the story ends. It ends on a happy note because of these important steps that he's taking. Look at verse 41 with me. When he comes to Jesus, he came near and Jesus asked him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" This is great. Jesus asks him a question, not because Jesus doesn't know. Jesus knows he's blind. Jesus knows everything. He knows what's in the heart of man. He's not asking the man, what do you want me to do for you? Because I really don't know. He's asking to clarify and to get this man to understand what he really needs in life and to exhibit his faith. And so clarify what you really need right now. What is it that you and I really need right now? Not 30 minutes from now. Not lunch later. Right now. What is it that we need to improve upon? I think sometimes we go through life and we don't focus in on what we really need right now. There might be more of a shotgun, just generic types of improvement. But what is the one singular thing? And that's what Jesus is asking. Did the man say, you know, what I could really use right now is some lunch. I could really use a new pair of sandals. He knew that he was blind and his greatest need is sight. I believe we will get out of a rut when we narrow down specifically and clarify specifically what is it, the one thing right now that I could improve upon. And then go after that. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26, what does it profit if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul? You know, we need to focus in on our soul, our inner man. Right now, what is it that our soul needs? The man didn't say, well, I wish you would help out my mother. She's across town. And no. It was his greatest need was sight. And that's what he clarified and focused in on. That I may receive my sight. What a great thing. What is it for you? What is it for me? Clarify that and work on that immediately. And then, verses 41 and 42, the Lord said, He said that I may receive my sight, and Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. When the man said that I may receive my sight, he clearly believed that Jesus could do this. He believed that he could get the change that he was wanting. And then Jesus did it for him. We will never get out of a rut if we don't believe we can. If we resign to the fact, if we throw up our hands and raise the white flag that it's just no good, then right, we won't get out. But if we believe we can change, we can get up and do that. He believed Jesus could do it, and he showed an active, saving, obedient faith. That's why Jesus says later, brings attention to his faith, thy faith hath made thee whole. He showed his faith by inquiring. He showed his faith by overcoming the hurdle of people who were trying to keep him away. He showed his faith by saying exactly what he believed Jesus could do for him. And it was that faith that made him whole. And then last of all, and we need to have a faith that works, James chapter 2, in that great passage, a faith that is obedient, a faith that works, a faith that is active. It's not just a faith that talks. In James chapter 2 and verse 14, this is a passage written to Christians. Some were saying, go, be filled and be warmed, but you don't give him what he needs. It's just all talk. He comes down, James 2, 24 through 26. We have to have a faith that works, that is active, and it's not just all talk and no action. And then last of all, verse 43. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, followed Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Don't go back and get stuck again. Don't go back into the rut. He followed Jesus immediately. And Jesus talks in Luke 9, 57 through 62 about discipleship, that we shouldn't put our hands to the plow and look back. We need to come and immediately follow Jesus and be a follower all the way to the end. Bartimaeus didn't go back to that life that he had before there, sitting in Jericho, wherever that was, that day in and day out rut. He didn't go back to that. Don't go back to that thing that is holding us in this tradition, this rut, this system that we're okay with, whatever that is. But once we start following Jesus, notice the text says in verse 43, he did that immediately upon receiving his sight. He followed Jesus and glorified God. I think about Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He realized that his sight is by God's doing. Can you imagine seeing colors, seeing objects, seeing things? We don't relate to that. We see every day. Maybe we take that for granted. I don't know how long he was blind. On another occasion, we know about a blind man who was blind from birth. I don't know how long Bartimaeus was blind. But to see again and to see colors, he was extremely grateful for that. And he didn't want to go back to that other way. I want to follow Jesus. So when we make that change, stay on that high road of a better relationship with Christ and Christians in the church, and don't go back to that old way. And what's amazing, verse 43, there were others when they saw it, they gave praise to God. The greatest example that you can give others around you is to be someone who follows Jesus and gets out of that rut. Others see it and they will give praise as well. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. People are watching us, and it's a great way to set an example toward those around us, especially for our children, for our spouse, for those who are close to us. When we make those changes, it's a great example for them as well. Well, we're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement. It's a great song that goes along with our lesson. I surrender all. That would be Bartimaeus. He just surrendered all to Jesus. Is it me this morning as a sinner who needs to come to Christ? Acts chapter 15 and verse 3. Do I need to be converted? Is that the rut that I need to get out of? Maybe I'm a saint this morning needing to grow and mature and press on toward the goal. Philippians 3, 14 and 15. Maybe it's a local congregation that needs to improve in some kind of way so that our service to Christ can be better in this community. Whatever the case is, we can get out of a rut. If we want to change, we can take these steps. We can learn from these steps. And we can, just like blind Bartimaeus did. What's beautiful about these miracles in the gospel is not just the miracle itself, but the lessons that surround, the lessons of faith that surround the miracle, those are for our admonition as well. Saving faith acts and obeys, not just for someone who needs to become a Christian, but even for those of us who are Christians. Let's, as we sing this song, let's mean what we sing. I surrender all to Jesus, and that will greatly improve our relationship with Him. How badly do you and I want to get out of that rut? Bartimaeus did it. Paul did it. The Corinthians did it after Paul admonished them. And you and I can do it this morning. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?